giving hope to people that were in despair, that he was freeing people from terrible bondage and other things. And so you would think with all that he was doing that everyone would love him, everyone would embrace him. But that's not at all what happened. That we actually find that many, including some of his own disciples, initially rejected him simply because of where he came from. That in that day that there was Judea, that was kind of the center of the Jewish nation, and there was this region of Samaria where everybody kind of that was in Judea looked down upon the Samaritans. But then beyond that, to the north, was Galilee, a place where people in Judea, they just kind of looked at as being the boondocks. And with the Nazareth was just this small town, just this place that didn't really seem to be significant to anyone. That one of his disciples said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" That he just had that thought. And so just because he came from this area, people just automatically identified him as some hick from the sticks that couldn't be of any consequence to them at all. And we find that as he spoke, the common people heard him gladly, but the political and religious leaders immediately dismissed him and looked at him as some kind of troublemakers. And this rejection and hatred continued to increase to the point that those who rejected Jesus had him arrested. They ran him through a very pathetic trial, and they delivered him up to the Roman governor to be crucified. Then Pilate brought Jesus out before the people, and he said to them, "Behold, your king." To which they responded, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" And surprised, Pilate asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" To which they answered, "We have no king but Caesar." That they rejected him. He was their king, the one that really they should have welcomed, one they should have been waiting for, one they should have embraced. But instead, they didn't want anything to do with him. They would rather see him dead. And so he was hated, and he was abandoned by everyone, even his disciples at a certain point, even though he hadn't done anything wrong. That people didn't understand who he was. They didn't take time to actually get to know him and understand what he was doing, why he had come, and why he was telling them these different things and warning them of what was to come. And we find in Luke 23 and verse 34 that Jesus, while suffering on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this was certainly true, that they had no idea what they were dealing with. And just, they were convinced that they were doing something good, and just their hatred and self-focus blinded them to the truth. And someone that they should have embraced, instead they cast them aside. They made a snap judgment that was entirely correct, and they would rather see Jesus die than admit that they were wrong. And sadly, this rejection of Jesus continues to this very day. So many hear the story of Jesus for the first time, and it seems so strange, they're quick to dismiss it as some sort of strange fairy tale that has no bearing on their lives at all. They make a snap judgment without taking the time to gather or evaluate all the facts that are available. They're too busy with their own lives to really stop and consider. Based on what they have, their first impression, they say, "Well, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. He has nothing to offer me, nothing to make me desire him." And perhaps as you're watching this message, that's you. And if it is, I want you to encourage you to challenge your assumptions. I want to encourage you to take another look at Jesus and see him as he truly is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." That there are on perspective. And these two judgments couldn't be any more different. That some look at the preaching of the cross, the message of and the story of Jesus as being complete and utter foolishness. But for others, they see it much differently. They see that it is the power of God to unto salvation to all that believe. We see later that it says in verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That it's a sense that many, they assume that this talk of Jesus, it's all just foolishness. It's not even worth looking into or considering with any seriousness. But I would insist to you, if that is your first impression of Jesus, your first impression is wrong. You need to look deeper. You need to look not with the eyes of skepticism, but instead with the eyes of faith. Those that have taken the time to take a second look see him in an entirely different light. They have seen one who is altogether lovely. One who is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. One who is a guide and help and companion through life. One who can give us wisdom and power in dealing with the challenges of each day. One who is God come in the flesh. One who is the Savior of the world. And initially, I think all of us may think, well, why would I need a Savior? What would I need to be saved from? Why should I not be able to save myself and look after myself? Whatever the problem might be. And we don't see Jesus for who he is because we don't see ourselves for who we are. That too often we have too high of a view of ourselves. We are quick to see the errors and inconsistencies and faults in others. We are very slow to see our own issues. And the Bible declares that all of us are sinners, that all of us have done wrong, that we think of the Ten Commandments and just gives just kind of basic of right and wrong. None of us have kept the Ten Commandments. I think all of us in one way or another have broken those commandments. And we have done wrong to our fellow man in disobedience and defiance to God and his laws. That God says for us to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, love our neighbor as ourselves, to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. And we break those rules all the time. It's always us first, and we're willing to harm others to get what we want. And so we all stand guilty and condemned because of sin. There's no way that we can save ourselves from the dreadful eternal consequences that come as a result of the wrong that we have done. But yet in John 3:16 we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That in Christ, God, in his love, has provided a way in which none of us need to perish. None of us need to be condemned for our sins. That instead we can find forgiveness and cleansing as we turn back to Jesus and take a second look, the look of faith. When we do so, we won't see him as this strange, obscure figure of history any longer. We will see him as he is. We will see him as the only Son of the one true God. We will see him as the light of this world, as the resurrection and the life, and as the good shepherd that gives his life for us. And though rejected by men generation after generation, Jesus is chosen by God to be the Savior of this world. And now more than ever, our world needs saving. We need saving. The threat of this virus hangs over all of us, and we are afraid of what is to come. But we know that he is able to deliver our souls from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from falling. Lord willing, we all pass through this time, and none of us succumb to this virus. That is my prayer, that there will be very few that succumb to this, as few as possible. I pray that they can find a virus or treatment quickly, But regardless of that, we do know that all of us will have to face death sometime. It is appointed a man once to die, but after this the judgment. And Jesus died so that we might live eternally. He came to redeem our souls from the power of the grave, to deliver us from the wrath to come, so that we don't have to fear a judgment to come, but instead that we know that He's taken that payment and penalty for us so that we can now spend eternity with Him in heaven. And this is the reality of who Jesus is, of what He came to accomplish, and why we all need Him. So as you watch this broadcast, if you have in the past dismissed Jesus and His gospel, I encourage you, I implore you to take a second look, to challenge your assumptions, to gather all the necessary information, to see fully for yourself who Jesus truly is. He is much more than just a man who lived 2,000 years ago on the other side of the globe. He lives today, and He's reaching out to you. Come and behold Him. You want to get to know Him. He has much to offer you. Indeed, all that you seek in life, you will find in Him. Love, joy, peace, hope, purpose, strength, wisdom, acceptance, satisfaction, and fulfillment. Those that wrote off Thomas Edison, Fred Astaire, Elvis Presley, and Michael Jordan years ago, in time, realized their mistake and how much they missed out by not giving them a chance to prove themselves to them. And so when it comes to you and Jesus, I don't want you to find yourself in the same place they did, for the consequences are much more serious. How tragic it would be for you to find out that when you pass from this life, to realize only too late that you passed Jesus by, that this one that you scorned and mocked and perhaps even used His name as a swear word, that He was the one who loved you, the one who died to save you, the one you could have found salvation in, the one in whom you could have found all that you ever needed. You still have time now to take another look at Jesus through the eyes of faith. And as you come to know the truth, that truth will set you free. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You are compassionate to us, long-suffering. We thank You that You draw us unto Yourself with Your love, and You don't give up on us, Lord. And we just pray, if there's anyone watching this broadcast, that if they have had a first impression of You, Lord, and maybe it was someone that was a representative of You that wasn't a very good representative and that jaded them. Whatever it might be, Lord, I just pray that You would give them the courage to take a second look, to see You for who You truly are, see You that You are one that loves them and wants to help them in their current struggle. And Lord, we just pray You'd help us that know You, that we would have a renewed appreciation for who You are, that we wouldn't take our relationship with You for granted, but we just realize how much You loved us, how much You valued our relationship with us, and just pray may we value our relationship with You in the same way. Just bless us this day, we pray, in Jesus' name.